From Washington, I'm David Schultz, and this is Talking Tax. This current filing season is a unique one in that, for the first time ever, the IRS is itself getting into the digital tax preparation game. Years in the making, the IRS's direct file system is debuting now in a bit of a soft launch in 12 initial states. Taxpayers in those states who have uncomplicated income sources can go online and file an electronic return directly with the IRS, no third-party tax preparation software needed. This is, of course, a big undertaking for the agency, and one that many say is long overdue. To find out how it's going, we rang up Bridget Roberts, the chief of the IRS's direct file project. Roberts spoke with Bloomberg Tax and Accounting reporter Aaron Slowey about the pilot project and whether it will expand next year to all states and become more than just a pilot. First, Aaron asked how Direct File is doing so far this season.
So the pilot's going really well. Right now, we are fully open through the end of filing season. Any eligible taxpayer in one of the 12 pilot states can log in at any time and create a return and file through Direct File for free directly with the IRS.
So can you talk a little bit more about like the criteria that is needed to qualify to be able to use this pilot?
Sure. So for the pilot, we have 19 million eligible taxpayers in the 12 pilot states. The tax scope that we're supporting in this pilot year is limited to relatively simple returns. So you have a W-2, maybe some Social Security income, unemployment compensation, some limited interest of up to $1,500. You're only claiming the standard deduction, so we don't support itemizing. And then you're looking to claim the earned income tax credit or the child tax credit or the credit for other dependents. We do also support adjustments for student loan interest and educator expenses. But anything outside of that, sort of self-employment income, you have health insurance through the marketplace, or you're looking to claim like the credit for dependent care. Unfortunately, we don't support those this year, so we would direct you to something other than Direct File.
And I know this has been like months, if not over a year in the making. Can you talk a little bit about like what testing has been like and kind of the things that you're learning and things that are maybe changing on the fly?
Yeah, so we have very much built Direct File with the philosophy of building it with taxpayers as opposed to for taxpayers. So even before we got into the start of filing season and taxpayers started using it for their actual returns, we have spent the past 9+ months putting pieces of Direct File in front of real taxpayers, obviously using pretend data, but putting screens and different pieces of it in front of taxpayers so they could give us their opinion on what they thought about it. Was it easy to use? Did they understand the questions that we were asking? Where were there changes that we need to make? Was the language not clear? Should we move buttons around? Should we do things in a different order? Really trying to get taxpayer feedback up front so that when we did put it in front of taxpayers to use for their actual returns, we were as confident as possible that we had done everything we could to put out the best product possible. But even throughout the pilot, since we launched on February 1st, we've continued to make improvements to Direct File as we're learning things from taxpayers using Direct File for their own individual tax returns.
And I know now that it's open to the wider public, would you expect to make changes even so as you continue throughout the filing season?
Yes, we continue to, you know, observe what taxpayers' experience is like, ask questions, identify places where we can make things better. And I would expect that even, you know, right up until the end of filing season, we'll be looking to add improvements to Direct File to make it as easy to use and simple as possible.
And I know something that's really interesting is that it's like mobile friendly. For me, I can't imagine filing my returns on my phone. Like, what has been that kind of reception? Can you tell who's filing on mobile versus not, like the decision to have that as like an option?
Sure. So we can tell how many people are using it sort of on their phone versus on a more traditional sort of tablet, desktop computer. I will say the majority of people still, like you, want to file their taxes kind of, you know, on a computer. But we do have sort of a number of people who have used the, you know, mobile option. You know, it looks as good and is as easy to use on a phone as it is on a regular computer. So, you know, a taxpayer who might want to log into Direct File on their phone, create their account, start to input their information, you know, their name and address and the basics about themselves. And then maybe once they get to their time to add a W-2 and that gets a little more complicated. Maybe they switch to their computer or maybe not. But it really is meant to give taxpayers a choice in how they want to use Direct File. And if they're comfortable doing it on their phone or they don't have a computer at home that they can rely on, then they have the ability to do it on their phone.
And I know pre-population is something taxpayers are really interested. Can you talk about like whether or not that's offered now in this pilot's current form and if it's something that the IRS is working towards?
Yes, we absolutely know that any interest in using something like Direct File goes up exponentially if it includes some type of pre-population. And there is a lot of enthusiasm for that. Unfortunately, it's not something that we have in the pilot. Again, it's just a pilot. We built this in about 9 months, so pre-population was not something that we were able to support for this year. And while we haven't made a decision yet about what the future might look like for Direct File and if we'll move forward past this current year, we're starting to hear from taxpayers what they would like to see in the future if we do move forward. And pre-population is one of the things that we have heard loud and clear that taxpayers are interested in being able to, you know, have access to through Direct File.
And I know you said that you're trying to limit who can use Direct File. You don't want like everyone doing it all at once. Like, what has the communication kind of been like with stakeholders? Like, oh, we want you to try it out. And like, what type of communities are you looking at to participate?
So prior to sort of our most recent kind of final round of testing and then just this week becoming kind of more widely available to everyone, communication has been a bit of a challenge. We've done a lot of internal testing, so haven't been able to engage our partners and stakeholders as much. But now we have been working very closely with partner groups who are helping us to get the word out to potentially eligible taxpayers in those 12 pilot states. So, you know, some of our target groups are kind of low, middle income, you know, individuals and families. You know, there are a lot of individuals who just have a relatively simple return. You know, I said that 19 million taxpayers in the 12 pilot states are eligible this year, but our tax scope actually covers one third of all taxpayers. So there are millions and millions of taxpayers out there who don't have a complicated return. There are students who, you know, just have a part-time job while they are in college who need to file a return. There are military who have recently, you know, moved off of the mill tax program and are looking for a free and easy way to file.
Got it. I know over this weekend, one of my friends, he's in the military, and he was saying that they were really encouraging Direct File for the Army. And so I thought that was really interesting, and it made me think a little bit more. Something I'm also trying to wrap my head around is like who you would expect to file with Direct File. Like, are these people coming from Free File? Are they coming from tax software companies? Are these people, were they not filing before? Like, do you have a sense of that, or at least in the short term, what you'd expect?
We don't have a sense of that yet. I think it's one of the things that we'll be looking to sort of learn once the pilot wraps up and take a look at who actually the population was. Were we able to convert some people who used to file on paper? You know, if people want to file on paper, the IRS is ready to support that. But ideally, we'd love to convert, you know, more of those filers to electronic filing. And now that there is this option to file for free directly with the IRS, can we maybe get some of those filers to use Direct File? I think, again, you know, the goal here is to just create another option for taxpayers. They can continue to use their existing software or their preparer or, you know, whatever they feel most comfortable with. But we have heard that there is a really strong interest from taxpayers in having a free option that lets them work directly with the IRS, and Direct File is that option.
And I know some people want to get an extension when they're filing the returns. Will people be able to do that with Direct File?
Unfortunately, no. Again, because it is a pilot and we kept that relatively simple scope, we don't support getting an extension this year.
I know something I hear about a lot is people are wondering whether or not it's going to be a permanent option, if the pilot's going to continue or if it's going to go away. I'm sure you've heard that question quite a bit. I'm curious for you, like what does a successful pilot look like? Like, what are some of the metrics that you're looking at?
I think, you know, one of the main goals of the pilot really was to learn. The IRS has never offered this type of electronic free filing option directly with the IRS before. And there was a lot we wanted to learn about in terms of just the ability to build something like this, to support it in terms of customer support, to use that live chat, to integrate with states and give taxpayers with a state filing option that ability to move from direct file into a state tool relatively seamlessly. And so at least for me, you know, one of my goals and a success for direct file will be to understand whether we were able to do all of those things.
And I guess on the flip side of that, like, what do you think an unsuccessful pilot looks like? Is there a certain metric that, oh no, if it didn't turn out a certain way, that the pilot would not continue?
I don't know. I think that's a decision that's probably above my pay grade. I think really we have very much gone into it with a mindset of wanting to learn and not making any assumptions ahead of time. I think we saw that in sort of the way we rolled it out, you know, the way that you would introduce sort of any new kind of software or product to new users is you wouldn't just give it to everyone for the first time all at once. You'd sort of start slowly, learn, make sure that everything is working as intended, and that you make any improvements that you need to before you roll it out more widely. So we have very much taken a, we are here to learn and improve as we go throughout the filing season, as I mentioned, continuing to make changes and tweaks and updates and improve the product. And the direct file that you see today looks slightly different from the direct file that someone used 2 weeks ago. And hopefully a few weeks from now, it'll be even better. So continuing to take that sort of learning and constant improvement approach throughout the filing season.
And I know you talked about the customer service side of direct file. How does direct file kind of help establish, like, maybe other things the IRS can do in other areas of the agency? Like, can you talk a bit more of kind of the potential impact of just the research alone with direct file and the agency?
Yeah, so the way that we are offering customer support in direct file is really interesting to me. It's a chat-based function. It's not a chat bot. It is a live chat with a real IRS customer support representative. So at any point when you're in direct file, there is a chat button at the top. You click it and you get a pop-up button and you can do a live chat with one of our customer support reps. You know, we don't have a phone option. And one of the things we wanted to learn was, what was that experience like for taxpayers? Were they receptive to that live chat option as opposed to a more traditional phone calling in like you're used to with the IRS? And so far, we've seen that they're really receptive to that. We haven't gotten a ton of customer support chats. And one of the reasons we think is because the product is actually so easy to use that you don't need a lot of handholding. But when you do need someone, we are there for you in English and in Spanish, which I think is fantastic. And so I think there's a really great opportunity for the IRS to learn about taxpayer interest in using that chat-first approach to customer support, and where there might be other opportunities for the IRS to pull some of that traffic off of its phones and move it to sort of a live chat, because you do have an interest there, in particularly when taxpayers are online interacting with the IRS. I think that ability to just immediately chat and get a quick resolution without having to switch to another method of communication.
I know that direct file is like one of the big IRS initiatives, at least for this year and probably the future. How much like manpower is behind the both like the creation of direct file and then now that it's being implemented? Like, how big is your team? Like, I know you also work with USDS as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we have a relatively small team for a product that's as complicated as direct file. We have a really great cross-functional team that includes the U.S. Digital Services. It includes 18F, which is part of GSA, and it includes some contractor support, as well as a lot of IRS individuals from across the agency. So I think it's a really good example of the government working together collaboratively with contractors to build, you know, great technology for citizens. And I think we have a, you know, like I said, a relatively small team. Our product team that built and supports the product is about 50-ish, maybe 60 people. A lot of them came on board in the past couple of months. You know, so sort of that team that was around early on to do a lot of the building was significantly smaller. We also have a fantastic customer support team. And as I mentioned, we have those customer support representatives from the IRS who were there to assist. You know, we have a couple hundred of those sort of on standby, depending on how many chats we get at any one point in time. But I think overall, it is a relatively small team for a project of this size.
Got it. And kind of going back to the metrics and people wondering whether or not the pilot will continue and be a permanent option, is the plan for the IRS to like be public with their findings and their decision, and like when could we expect that, and both the, also the cost of how much the product ended up costing?
Yes, absolutely. I know there is a lot of interest in all of those things, both what it cost and sort of all of the metrics of kind of what we've seen throughout the pilot. And absolutely, the plan is to sort of at the end of the pilot, do an analysis and pull all of that information together, including what the pilot cost overall, and have some, you know, very honest conversations with stakeholders and share that information, because there is a lot of interest from everyone in kind of seeing what that looked like for the pilot.
And one of the, I guess, big criticisms that I've seen is that people don't want the IRS to be a collector, a preparer, and an enforcer. Like, what do you say to those people?
So I say that the IRS has an obligation in making it as easy as possible for taxpayers to meet their filing requirements. And that includes giving taxpayers options for how they file their return. And direct file is just one more option that taxpayers have. Taxpayers are, you know, welcome to use whatever method works best for them, to use Free File or a VITA or a return preparer or commercial software, you know, or use direct file. There, we've heard for sure that there is an interest amongst taxpayers in having additional free options, including an option that allows them to file for free directly with the IRS without having to go through anyone else. And direct file is just one more option that we're giving taxpayers to make it as easy as possible for them to meet their filing obligations.
That was Bridget Roberts, the chief of direct file at the IRS, speaking with Aaron Slowey. And that's it for today's podcast. You can find up-to-the-minute news and latest tax and accounting developments at our website, news.bloombergtax.com. That website, once again, is news.bloombergtax.com. Today's Talking Tax is produced by myself, David Schultz. Martha Mueller Neff is our editor. From Washington, I'm David Schultz. Thanks for listening.
In a global tax landscape that changes by the day, it's what you don't know that can leave you exposed. At Bloomberg Tax, we provide market-leading intelligence and practical applications to help tax professionals work smarter, faster, and more accurately. Our solutions provide the insights you need for game-changing outcomes. To revolutionize your performance in real time, the difference is Bloomberg Tax. Learn more at pro.bloombergtax.com.